myself in times of trouble. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. But though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth, and I am so happy to see our guest. We want to welcome to the show Donna Mathewich. She is an inspirational speaker, she's an author, and she's here to tell us a little bit about a great program that you can be a part of on Thursday, August 29th at 11:30 a.m. It's part of the Forever Well Lunch and Learn series at the Hastings YMCA, and it's going to be on resiliency. Great to see you, Donna.
Always good to be here. Thank you, Mo.
Thank you. So we were listening to that song before we actually went on the air. Let it be. And what does that mean to you, to just let it be?
We just mentioned before we came on that, you know, what we have control over is minuscule compared to the things that just, they come along in life. And sometimes we're better off to be somewhat more accepting of that. You know, I'll do what I can, but when things don't exactly go the way I would hope they would have, then we kind of let it be and continue on and get one foot in front of the other. And so this resiliency, particularly resiliency in grief, is my topic for Thursday at the Y. I put together a few programs with this as my theme because I believe it's a muscle that we can strengthen. And you and I talked last time I was here, we kind of talked, I think it was off air, but that resiliency, you know, that you had mentioned that even people in the same family, there can be a varied way that the personalities develop in a household for whatever reason, because we're all different people, right? DNA is different, everything's different. Even though we were raised in the same home, some people just seem to have resiliency and an attitude of, I'll move on, I can do this, I'll learn what I can from this experience. I don't like it, but it's not going to take me down. Where others sometimes are more apt to like want to roll over and just give it all up, you know. So, but I do what I can to help people see that there are some things we can do. There are some things that we can do to become more resilient. When I first put this program together, you know, 9 months ago or so, I looked up the word resiliency and all kinds of cool things pop up, you know, on the internet. And one of the things that talked about the resiliency of a tree, particularly a palm or a bamboo tree. And what we know is that in a storm, if you've ever seen pictures or video of hurricanes.
In Florida or something.
Yeah, Florida or wherever. And those palm trees are bending.
No kidding.
Right to the ground, right? But they do, most of them will stand tall and erect again. And scientists have found that they are really even stronger. With every storm that hits, they rise and they are stronger after the storm. I thought, what a great analogy.
No kidding.
For us as people.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Is that the same as us as people, though? I almost don't think it is.
We can have it as a goal. It can be something we can think in our mind. You know, can I stand tall again? Well, is it possible? You know, let me tell you what I...
Can I tell you? I'm never going to look at a palm tree the same way.
I know.
Now I'm very inspired by palm trees.
Yes, they are an inspiration. Yes. And the other thing I looked to, the book called Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. And she talks about, in that book, the common factors in resilient people. So I have the top five here. There are others. So the one she says, resilient people are resourceful and have good problem-solving skills. so resourceful. Sometimes that's by nature. Sometimes we can learn to be more resourceful by listening and learning from other people. And problem-solving skills, I think that can be learned. If you know, but so much of it, are you willing? Or do we want to just say, well, that's just the way I am? You know, you hear people say that. It's just who I am. And, you know, whether it's a bad temper or not terribly ambitious in work, it's just how I am.
Or crabby.
Or crab. Yeah. It's, you know, and we know people who is like, as long as we've known them, they've just kind of been not such a happy person.
Right. And is that just the way they are then? Or you're saying that we can change?
Well, no. I don't know that I don't know that everyone can change. I don't believe we couldn't all change. I don't think so. But if we want to, I don't know. I don't know that there's a real answer to that question. If we really desire for our life to be better and we trust people enough around us that say, you know, you don't have to life doesn't have to be like this, and they're interested. But I think at a certain point in life, a certain age maybe, if that's how you've been, boy, I don't know. We all have people in our lives who it's like, you have no hope that they will ever be any different.
No, and it's so sad because I don't think most people want to go through life unhappy.
No.
Or creating havoc wherever they go.
Right. If there isn't chaos, they'll create some because they're more comfortable with it.
That's a real thing too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, especially I think someone who's grown up in a house where there was a lot of chaos, maybe there was addiction and, you know, there was fighting and there was, and how often don't we see that a woman, for example, may marry someone just like that dad who made her life crazy, because that's what we get comfortable with that. We know how to live in that. We don't know how to live in other ways. So it's unfortunate. But
so being resourceful is a part of resiliency.
Yes.
And could that mean seeking help if you need it? Or what does that mean exactly?
To me, it would mean
problem solving yourself.
Do you look at community ed and you take some classes? Do you take a course or two that your church might offer? Do you look to someone who has some of the qualities you wish you had? And you say, I'd like to get to know him or her better. You know, and just watch them live life a little bit and see why is it different?
And what
why
do they have? Because I would like some of that.
Yeah, right. And how did they get there? And were they always this way? Maybe they weren't. You know, and of course, again, going online and in the wonderful books and articles online, and they're, you know, and I'm not a big proponent of this whole self-help because I think we don't do anything alone. I think we need people. And whatever those resources, people, I think that's one of the best resources we have is the people around us. So I think, you can look for the resources and you can work at, you know, and not to change everything all at one time, but maybe just a piece of it, whether it be self-care, how you're taking care of yourself. Because if you're eating lousy and not sleeping enough and not ever exercising and you just feel plain crummy,
you're going to be crummy, aren't
you? You're just going to be crummy. Yeah. So, you know, so we can't say I can't help it. Because I think there's more we can help in those areas than we want to sometimes admit. Because that means we have to do the work.
Right. Or it's just that attitude piece, Donna.
Yeah. Yeah. Stinking attitude sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the second one, the point that she makes is they are more likely to seek help. We kind of talked about that. They are willing to look outside themselves and say, I'm not living the rest of my life like this. They hold the belief that they can do something that will help them to manage their feelings and to cope. They hold the belief that they can do something that will help them to manage their feelings and to cope.
So they're not hopeless.
They're not hopeless. Because when someone reaches hopeless, it's a deep hole.
It is.
You know, because if you have hope, that means you still see a glimmer of light. Like, no, I'm not giving up. I'm going to push through and see what else I can do. What can I control about the situation? So, you know, and when I work with people in grief who are so wounded and are such, you know, their life is really pretty poor. Their quality of life is poor. I watch for the sign that they still say things that say, well, you haven't entirely given up. You still have hope. They have social support available to them. So they're not isolating. And that's something I warn people of, you know, when I deal with groups of people in grief is to, you know, because there's this fine line between total isolation and have a feeling like you're having to say yes to every invitation you get. Because there are times when you plain don't feel like it. I don't have the energy. Today's been a really rough day. And some might say, but maybe it'll help me to get out and go to dinner with my friends, or go to that, you know, that social thing that's going on, or go to the river and hear the concert, or, you know, rather than saying no, because I tell people, if you say no to absolutely everything, then you will isolate. And then that's a slippery slope, I believe, that takes you down into this dark hole, and then there's hopelessness waiting at the bottom.
Don't you think, though, saying yes to everything also is putting a Band-Aid on perhaps your grief or whatever, because you're just staying busy and you're distracting yourself, and you're not dealing with the real issues.
It's like in life, there's this healthy balance.
It is.
Always. And so, you have a choice. You can do that. And I've seen people do that, and then their grief gets delayed. The true grieving process is thwarted, and 5 years later, 10 years later, they're back trying to deal with what they wish they would just have taken care of. Because now they've learned more. Maybe they come, you know, they talk to me, or they come to a group. They're hearing some things, and it triggers this, I remember feeling that way 5 years ago when my wife died, or whoever it was. And I remember saying yes to everything and staying so busy and taking every overtime hour that I could get at work. So I would just drop into bed at, 11 o'clock, and I'd wake up at 6 the next morning and just start all over again. And, and maybe the next trigger, and in grief, we kind of tend to think death. But there are the things that cause these tailspins to come into our lives.
Right, and it's not necessarily death. I mean, I think resiliency is... Yeah.
Could we use resiliency in a divorce? Could we use resiliency when we lose our job? Could we use resiliency when we get a diagnosis of an illness that's going to take some time and effort to
work through mentally
and physically? So certainly it's not. There are many times where resiliency would be a wonderful quality to know that you have, and hope that you don't have to use it too many times. But, some people seem to use it more often than others.
Yes, they do. And that's the part I don't quite understand about the Lord.
That's right. I don't know. And because I've said it myself, it's like, how much more can that family take? And I've had seasons in my life where it was like, Lord, I feel like I've reached the end of my rope pretty soon. One more thing and I might just tip over.
And I don't believe that this whole thing, this notion that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Sometimes he does.
Yes, he does.
So don't say that to people.
So what I add to that is he won't give you more than you can handle with his help.
Yes.
Because if we're thinking we are supposed to pull ourselves up by bootstraps and do it independently, be an island and be tough and listen to all the old tapes that maybe you hear playing from your childhood or how you watched your family of origin do it. My mother herself she talked to no one about anything. She just mustered through, and she, she really was a very unhappy woman who I believe suffered with undiagnosed depression and anxiety, and she died with that. And I didn't see her enjoy life.
And isn't that too bad? Because I'm sure she was out and about. I'm sure she was going to family occasions. Yeah. I'm sure she was at your house and hosting parties, but yet not enjoying life.
No, life was never fun for her. And really, in the later years, she didn't do all the things you just said either. She stopped coming. She just isolated, And I tried. I tried. She wasn't easy to talk to, but I did. I wrote a letter or two, and then she'd be offended by that. I mean, it was really difficult. So I know about trying to help people who won't. I mean, I believe she should have seen a professional years ago, but way back then, who did that? Oh no, we can't. We're not going to do that. Okay, the final one on this list of the five that I am looking at is they're connected to others, such as family and friends. So we've kind of encapsulated all five of these in the short conversation we've had already, Mo. But just this whole idea of resiliency. And then what I'll be doing with this Lunch and Learn is talking about, I have something I call the signs that you can watch for along the way. And I use a yield sign, a pedestrian's crossing sign, a falling rocks, a detour, and the rest area. And then I just share my thoughts on what each of those signs could mean to us as we find ourselves on a journey of loss, grief, however that comes to us. It can be death, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. The difference, I think, with other ways that we find ourselves struggling is that it's about the endurance and the longevity of them. Illness, hopefully, there's a beginning, and yet we hope that we can see that there's a resolution and we regain our health. And, and loss of job, well, we certainly hope you find another job and it's maybe better than the one you just, are displaced from. Death, on the other hand, depending on
the circumstances
and how, if this person played a major, major part in your life, I think that, and I'm 27 years away from the loss of, you know, our son, Tim. And so, but it forever, he will always be part of what makes me who I am and what I'm doing. And so it's in a positive way though, you know, it's been many years since I felt it was this sad, am I ever going to feel normal? You know, it took me 7 or 8 years probably to come to a point where I said, I think I've arrived at a new normal. I think I've figured out what my life now has, you know, will look like, and I will do what I can to only make it better from here on out. So I kind of made this conscious choice.
Were you resilient before Tim passed away?
You know, I don't know, because
you must have been with your mom situation.
Yeah, I guess, but I think it had never been tested like it was then.
Of course not.
Nothing ever I'd experienced ever before that tested just how resilient am I. I had no idea.
Is resiliency strength?
Well, I know one thing, a pet peeve that anyone who's in grief from death, from a diagnosis that, you know, rocks your world and other things, is
you're strong.
So strong. No, I take that, we early on in those phases of life take it as almost like an insult. You know, and also things like making excuses or saying, yeah, but, you know, so you lose a child. Well, yeah, but at least you still have your other child.
Who says things like that, Donna?
And they do, and people
right.
do. Or, you know, your husband dies after 57 years of marriage. Yeah, but look at all the great years you had. So that yeah, but with a comma means, so you shouldn't feel so bad. So again,
the grief grieving
and,
person.
And that grieving person is feeling not validated, almost to feel, and a person early on in a grief journey is very sensitive. We hear things with different ears. We hear things, we're guarded, our antenna is always up, and we're hearing things differently than people meant to have it come across.
Of course.
Perception, that's our reality, no matter what, right? Our perception is our reality.
Right.
And so how it's perceived and how it was meant to be heard often don't match.
Well, we are going to learn so much at this resiliency seminar, and it's going to be on Thursday, August 29th, starting at 11:30, and it's at the YMCA. It's called a Lunch and Learn with the Forever Well group. How can people go about signing up?
They usually just call the Y, which I don't have that number.
We'll post that phone number.
Okay, post the phone number at the Y and just ask about that lunch and learn on Thursday, and they can purchase. I think they're selling a ticket for the lunch or whatever. So
great.
Yes, and you know, and moving forward from this, I'd love to be able to bring this to other organizations, businesses, or churches, or women's groups. And they've also developed a whole day seminar on doing this as a workshop. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Donna, thank you.
Thank you.
How can people get a hold of you then?
Well, look for me on Facebook under Unfinished by Design. That's probably the best way to find me quickly. Or Unfinished by Design. Donna at unfinishedbydesign is my .com is my email.
Great to see you. Donna Mathewitz, we just love it when she comes in and shares her insights with us. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary.